You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Next up on the show, we have an interview with David Parker, where I talked to him because earlier this year, as part of the government's COVID recovery, there was an introduction of legislation which fast-tracks projects in an effort to create more jobs while the economy is still trying to rebuild from this pandemic. Now, there are a number of projects being considered, with the first one having been accepted. Now, this project is a reservoir up in Kaikohe, located in Northland, which struggled with the drought at the start of this year. To understand more about fast-tracking legislation and what impact it is having, I talked to the Environment Minister, David Parker, and started off by asking what this legislation is all about.
So earlier in the year, post-COVID, we realised that we needed to bring forward some infrastructure projects in order to provide employment opportunities for people who've lost their jobs as a consequence of COVID. We were aware that one of the delays in doing that is the time it sometimes takes to get a resource consent. And so we passed a piece of legislation which lasts for 2 years, which enables projects to be put to consenting panels that have, they deal with it on a fast track basis. There are limited rights of public participation. Representative groups can put in written submissions, but unless the hearings panel thinks that a face-to-face hearing is necessary, it's dealt with on the papers, and appeal rights are limited to matters of law. So we're trying through this to bring forward employment opportunities. The normal RMA environmental protections apply, as do treaty obligations. The treaty test is not diminished.
Okay, so the first project has been approved through this fast-tracking process, and it was a water reservoir up in Northland. Why was this project chosen first?
Well, it was half a dozen projects that were listed in the Act, so it's come out the end of that first because it was perhaps one of the simpler ones to deal with once the panel received the application. From my perspective, it's a fantastic outcome here because your listeners may recall that Kaikohe essentially ran out of water over the summer. They were down to such low levels of water that they had very, very severe restrictions. People couldn't flush their toilets as often. The local prison was having to truck water in. Commercial uses of water were being turned off. There were reports of people having to clean themselves by swimming in the stream. You know, they really had serious problems in Northland. And so this water storage project, which is primarily municipal but also has some commercial and horticultural benefits, has been approved to be built. It will employ about 60 people, I think it is from memory, stores about 750,000 cubic metres of water, and it secures the drinking water and the household needs of the Kaikohe region for years to come.
Okay, so I do remember that happening, and I also remember that there was a lot of criticism around building a reservoir when there were some people saying that there should be more resources put towards maybe water efficiency and making sure that people are able to keep using water, and that a reservoir could be seen as a short-term fix. So was there other alternatives that were looked at in Northland to make sure that situations like these don't happen again?
Well, I'd make the point that virtually every large urban population has reservoirs. So, you're right that every town in New Zealand needs to do better at capturing water on the roof if they've got a water shortage and using it for their household needs or even watering the garden rather than necessarily releasing it down the drain water. But nonetheless, reservoirs are necessary. I think one of the things that happened in Northland is that for a number of years, some of the local body politicians resisted investing what they needed to in upgrading their water infrastructure because it was going to put up rates. They then got caught short with the drought that was experienced last year, and they realised that they needed extra reservoir capacity, but they'd left it too late to build. So there is an urgent problem to fix.
Okay, so up in Northland, it's one of the areas where
It's seen a lot of benefits from the Provincial Growth Fund, which is now going to disappear. So what impact will this legislation have without the Provincial Growth Fund? Was there plans to have them working side by side?
Well, the legislation wasn't motivated by the Provincial Growth Fund. It was actually motivated by the employment consequences of COVID. It is true that Northland and the Gisborne regions were the two areas that had the greatest focus for the Provincial Growth Fund, two of four priority areas, and probably the two most needy regions in the country in terms of the socioeconomic disadvantage that those areas suffer. And so that's why those were prioritised through the PGF. We haven't yet taken decisions as to what will be the successor of the Provincial Growth Fund. It was a time-limited fund of $3 billion that was essentially spent during the last 3 years of government, and the successor to that is likely to be a smaller fund but won't disappear completely. In terms of projects to go through the fast-track legislation, though, it's not limited to PGF projects. One of the projects that's going through that process at the moment in their application for a consent is upgrading the transmission lines from the Clutha area through to the Waitaki area, where we've got a transmission constraint that prevents Manapouri power being brought north should Tiwai smelter close. And at the moment, that transmission constraint means that power couldn't be utilised to the north, or not all of it could be. So that's another project, and that's not funded at all by the PGF. It's another project that's been considered through this fast-track process. Doesn't mean it'll get its consent, but the decision as to whether it should get its consent will be taken quite quickly.
Okay, so how long should we expect to see projects being put towards this fast-track legislation? Is it got a set time?
Yeah, it's got a sunset clause of 2 years. So 2 years from the time it was passed, which was a couple of months ago, or probably 3 months ago now. So 1 year and 9 months from now, any application that is put to that process inside that period is considered through that process, and at the end of it, shortcut process ends. In the meantime, of course, we've got a wider reform of the RMA underway, because in truth the RMA hasn't worked as was intended, and it does take too long for some decisions, which means that there's a lot of excessive costs, and it hasn't served to protect our environmental bottom lines and fresh water quality, or to adequately control greenhouse gas emissions. So it needs a rejig, and that should be completed about the time that this legislation expires.
Okay, that was going to answer my final question, which was, will this still be required if we do see a reform of the RMA, which Labor has been talking about?
Well, it's a delicate balance, because I don't think New Zealand wants to go back to the old situation that we had pre the RMA, where we had a piece of legislation called the National Development Act, where central government effectively by regulation could give consents to very contentious projects without judicial oversight in accordance with environmental principles. So I don't think we want to go that far. On the other hand, the length of time that is taken for some decisions to be made under the RMA is excessive, and there must be ways in which that can happen a bit more efficiently whilst not degrading environmental bottom lines or treaty or ignoring treaty obligations. So that's the sweet spot that we'll be trying to target.
Are there any other comments you'd like to make?
There is one thing. I think the Northland region, I think, has reflected on the fact that this initiative was largely a New Zealand first initiative, and that they deserve some credit for it.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.